Right. Still in the same book, we're going to go to Mark chapter 15 because our focus this evening is on the table. We'll continue next week back in chapter 1, but I think it's very appropriate and it links in very well what we were sharing this morning. So it's Mark chapter 15 and it's the story of the crucifixion and we'll commence to read at verse 33. So Mark 15, commencing at verse 33. Let's listen to God's word. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, behold, he's calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. It's the declaration made right at the start. It's the first verse of Mark's gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this centurion, as he watched the events of the crucifixion, made exactly the same declaration that this man surely was, truly was, the Son of God. But this morning we were in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 6, and we were looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we were looking at those four words right at the start, the opening phrase of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them a completely new way to pray. It was a revolutionary way to pray, to actually pray and start with the word Father. Because it described the new relationship that followers of Jesus Christ, those who are in Christ, now have. We can call God our Father. We can address him as Father in exactly the same way that Jesus Christ spoke to his Father. And the reason we can pray our Father is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's incredible. We are part of the same family. And Jesus, when he communicates to his Heavenly Father, that's how he addresses him. He speaks to him as his Father. Over 60 times in the Gospels, you will find it recorded that Jesus refers to God as his Father, God the Father. Abba Father, that personal word that we thought about this morning. We see an example of him addressing his Father in the previous chapter, in chapter 14, Mark 14. If we look at verse 35, we're in the Garden of Gethsemane that night before Christ goes to the cross. And he's there with the three disciples, Peter and James and John. And he goes off to be alone because his heart is in great anguish. He knows what lies ahead of him in the next few hours. He knows that he's going to the cross to pay the punishment for our sins. And that drives him to prayer. Look at verse 35 of chapter 14. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed. If it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. So look how he addresses God. He calls him Abba, Father. That's how he addresses God when he speaks in prayer. But here on the cross, in chapter 15, he prays again. He prays from the cross. Look what he says at the end of verse 34. My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? What do you notice? What's striking about that prayer that Christ utters from the cross? What does he not say? He doesn't use the word Father. He just says, my God. So when he's praying in the garden in great anguish, as he would normally do over 60 times recording Gospels, he always says, Father. But here on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why does he drop that word, Abba? Why does he not use it? I think it gives us an insight to the cross. And what it actually does is it gives us an insight to the horror of the cross. What's he actually saying here? Why have you forsaken me? And in the agony of the cross, he's separated from his loving heavenly Father. He doesn't call him Father at this point, because he's in the midst of that separation here. And at that point, when he feels forsaken by his heavenly Father, that is when God the Father is placing our sin upon his Son. When the wrath of a holy God is being placed upon his Son, he's forsaken. And he's placed upon the one that he loves. Why did he do that? Because a holy God cannot tolerate sin in any way. He cannot tolerate it. Sin must be punished. But lovingly, the Son willingly goes to the cross. And there on the cross, he took our punishment. And he took our separation. He was separated from the Father. That close relationship was gone for those hours that he hung on the cross. That was a great act of love. 1 John 4 puts it this way. It says, in this is love. Do you want to know what love is? This is love. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what real love is. That God sent his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a sacrifice that appeases the wrath of God. If God is not angry about sin, he can't be a holy God. A holy God can only have one reaction to our sin, and that is righteous anger. And it needs to be appeased. There needs to be a propitiation for that righteous anger, for that wrath from God. But in his love, God didn't place his wrath upon us as we deserve. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, in our place. And as Christ hung on the cross, he was separated. That close relationship was broken for those hours on the cross. But that's not the end of the story, is it? 3 days later, he rose again. And 40 days after that, Jesus Christ ascended. Where is he now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Proof beyond proof that that relationship, Father and Son, still remains today. And a result of Jesus Christ's death and his resurrection on the cross, we too, people like us, people who are sinful, can receive the glorious blessings that flow from that sacrifice on the cross. We can receive forgiveness for our sins. We can receive adoption into God's family. And we can receive the right to call God Father. We don't need to call him God. We can call him Father from the blessings that flow from what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And this is the great truth. This is the great truth I want us to focus on as we come to the Lord's table very, very shortly. That Christ willingly suffered for us on the cross. That he was separated from the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? To enable us to become members of God's family. So that we could sit here this evening and say that we are a child of God. Praise God for that. Praise God that we can come to the table. And I'm going to open it up. I'm going to give you a bit of warning here. I'm going to open it up in a few moments and give you an opportunity to respond in prayer right at the start of our prayer week to give thanks for the cross. The greatest thing that we can give thanks for. And when we pray, we can call him Father. Because Jesus Christ took our place. He was separated so we could be brought into his family. And it's this great truth that makes a huge difference in our lives. This morning, I was heading into the pre-service prayer meeting. And as I was heading in, my phone rang. Don't normally answer the phone, but I answered the phone to be told that one of my good friends passed away in the early hours of last night. His name's Peter. As well, he's a member of Newton Breda Baptist, where we were members of before we came to Carrickfergus. Been a great help to me, and he used to come on camp with us, the Baptist youth camp that we run in Kilkeel, and he used to drive the bus, the minibus. And I remember him coming round to our house just over 3 years ago. Came round a Saturday morning, rang me up, said, I want to speak to you, Peter. And he called round to tell me that I'd just been diagnosed with motor neuron disease. And when you get a diagnosis like that, a disease with no cure, It's really a death sentence hanging over your life. And I remember sitting there breaking the news to me that Saturday morning, apologizing that he wouldn't be allowed to drive the bus on camp, which was about a month later. Would have to find a new bus driver. He said, I'm still keen to drive, but the insurance company won't let me onto the insurance with a diagnosis like that. And I remember him saying to me, you know, the doctors are not sure, but they think I've probably about 6 years to live before this will kill me. He lived for three, so half of what the doctors diagnosed. And that's the kind of news which is shattering. How do you cope with news like that? But even as he spoke to me and he spoke to Joanne that morning, he had great hope. He was able to speak with confidence. And what gives a man with a death sentence hanging over his life hope? It's this glorious truth that he's a child of God. That death is not the end, that one day he would be with his loving heavenly Father. You might think that was just maybe shock at the start and he was able just hadn't really addressed it. But his faith and his hope and his confidence grew over those past number of years. In fact, he shared with more people than he'd ever shared before about his great faith and his great hope and his great confidence because he was a child of God. And God was really able to use Peter to minister into many people's lives through this, what many people thought was a tragic experience. But it's this hope and it's this confidence and it's this relationship that you have with a heavenly Father that makes all the difference. And where does this relationship come from? It comes from what this table reminds us of. That the beloved Son was forsaken by the Father on the cross. And he was forsaken so we could reap the blessings and the benefits. So as we come to the table this evening, we have so much to praise our Heavenly Father for. We have so much to give thanks to the Son for. And we have so much to give thanks to God, the Holy Spirit as well, for opening our blind eyes to this great truth and drawing us and calling us into God's family as well. So let's take some time this evening. I'm going to open this up. Maybe ask for two or three to respond, to pray. And isn't it great to say, as we already said, to be able to pray, my Father or our Father. We are in that relationship because of what Jesus Christ suffered for us. So would two or three lead us in prayer, lead us in giving thanks for what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. Amen.
Father, as we've listened to your word this evening, just remember the song that says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, and unclean. And Father, we have to confess this evening we have no understanding of what you've done for us, what the Lord suffered on that cross for us. But Father, we just open our hearts with thanksgiving and love for the grace that you've shown to us and that you give your only begotten Son to die for the likes of us. Father, help us to just really strive to understand, even though we never will, just what it meant.
cross at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who done so much for us and given us all on the cross for us. And we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Jesus, who gave himself freely so that the burdens that we've carried for years could roll away. And Father, we thank you that we are free because we have been set free by Jesus. And we thank you for Jesus this evening. He's done all this for us. Hell-deserving, guilty sinners, saved by his wonderful grace. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Before we observe the Lord's Supper, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. I'm going to invite our musicians to come and join us here as well. We're going to sing The Wonder of the Cross. And then after this, I'm going to read. I'm going to pray for the bread and the deacons will give it out. Now, the Lord's table is not for everyone. It's for family members. It's for people who can call God their Father because they're a child of God. They've been born again by the Spirit of God. So if you are a child of God, if you're a true believer who's been born again, then we invite you to come and to join with us, brothers, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and to observe the Lord's Supper. If you know in your own heart that you're not a Christian, you're not walking in fellowship with Christ and other believers as well, we ask you not to take of the bread and then of the wine. But during this time, this gives you time just to reflect and to think. And to think about the cross. And to think what Jesus Christ did there on the cross, taking the punishment for sin. It's a great opportunity to respond to Christ's great love. It's a great time to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Be able to call God your Heavenly Father. Respond to him. But let's stand and let's sing The Wonder of the Cross. Please be seated. Let me read the words from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you. We can call you Father. And it's all made possible through your lovely Son, Jesus Christ. His death on a cross. His death to make propitiation for our sins. To pay the punishment. And for your resurrection as well. That he is a living Savior. And as we remember Christ's death on the cross this evening, we remember all the blessings that we receive through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this bread. And as we eat this bread, may it speak to our hearts a remembrance, a fresh remembrance of Christ's suffering because he loved us. And as we drink this cup, may we remember and give thanks for that Christ's blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness for sins. And we thank that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from our sins. We praise you for that. We give thanks for this bread and this wine. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And let's take the wine together. Let's pray again. Dear Father, we thank you again for the cross. We thank you that your Son was forsaken so that we could be forgiven. We thank you that he was forsaken so that we could be born again by the Spirit of God. We thank you that he was forsaken so we could be adopted into your family. Help us never to tire of these incredible truths, but help our love for you to grow as we think about it, as we meditate upon it. And may our whole lives be a response to that great act of love. We worship you and we praise you and we thank you for the cross. In Jesus Christ's lovely name we pray. Amen.